Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, September 24th, and the Jimmy Butler rumors are picking up just as training camp is slated to start, and your Detroit Pistons are involved. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, spreading the word about the podcast, and thanks to all the new listeners for joining us as we get ready for the 2018-19 campaign. Today, we're going to be talking about it's Media Day. We're going to be talking about my plans for it and what you can expect for the show this week. We're also going to talk Jimmy Butler. I have some listener reaction for you. I have some reactions as well to the rumors that the Pistons are interested in acquiring the all-star guard from the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've also got a new Piston joining the fray on Sunday. We'll tell you all about him and what you need to know as training camp is set to begin. We also have some listener reaction on Reggie Jackson's latest injury. Play you the voicemail from Breishan Miller out in Philly later on in the show. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. We've got all the Pistons information and analysis that you need, retweeted and also supplied by myself and all the other Pistons media and Pistons fans out there that we pass along there. And also the Locked On Pistons Facebook account at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. So give us some love on all the social media channels and follow us as we get ready for the ride that it will be the 2018-19 season, which I'm pretty excited about, to be honest. First off, like before we get into basketball, how about that football weekend, though? We had some rough ones to start the year as fans here in the great state of Michigan, but Saturday, a complete beatdown by the Michigan Wolverines. I was in the big house for the win against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, completely dismantling the program that has a long way to go, by the way, under new coach Scott Frost. Good luck to the Huskers. I've been to Memorial Stadium for a Michigan-Nebraska game in the past with my guy Chris, who works for the Lincoln Journal-Star. And so we will see if Nebraska is able to turn it around. We know that Michigan, when Harbaugh came in under similar circumstances to try to revive his old program, that it went really well really quick. Year one was really good for Harbaugh, and better times didn't last all that longer because – now Michigan fans don't know exactly how to feel about how things are going with the program, but it's going to be pretty clear-cut for Scott Frost. They're starting off from the very bottom and needing to get going from, you know, as time goes on up from there. But Michigan State, a solid win on the road against Indiana. So a couple of good ones for the local teams. And then tonight, Sunday Night Football, as I taped this right after the game at Ford Field, I was not at the game. The Lions get the win against Tom Brady and the Patriots rather easily, 26-10, and I don't even really know what to say about this one. Really, if I'm being honest, it's more frustration than anything because I was prepared to just let go of this season as a fan and just kind of follow it as a journalist the rest of the way. But now, here we go, getting sucked back in. We'll see what happens in Dallas next week, and I'll be in the house for the Green Bay game reporting for the Associated Press there. So we will see how things go going forward. But hey, moving on, today is Pistons Media Day. We made it through the summer. I will be out there at Little Caesars Arena today. My plan is to grab a few interviews. We'll see what happens. Mostly looking to chat with Keenan Evans, the undrafted free agent out of Texas Tech. I'm working on a story about him for the Lubbock newspaper. Also been thinking about it with Media Day coming up. And as you guys know, the regular listeners, we don't have a whole lot of the current players on the podcast. We have a lot of the media members, a lot of the former players, and then just guests that we come across as the season goes on. And part of that is access, of course. But also part of that is sometimes interviews with current players really aren't that all interesting or illuminating to me. If there's an angle that you can hit with a certain guy or a nice venue where you can get away from things and talk about, you know, some overall big picture stuff or a specific journey that the guy went through or something to talk about, it can be really good. But, and we'll have some more this season, but sometimes I really don't know the value of it unless it's done correctly. So really, when I'm looking at Media Day, I was really kind of interested in guys like Keenan Evans, the point guard out of Texas Tech, who's with the team on a two-way contract right now. Gianni Hamilton of Texas San or Texas Arlington, who was with the team in summer league and ended up getting a deal from the Pistons slash Grand Rapids as well. Zach Lofton from New Mexico State under similar circumstances of that. But we might focus on those guys a little bit as preseason happens, because those are the guys that, you know, could be involved with the future of the Pistons at times, and also guys that we don't really know anything about. We know a lot about the Pistons full-time guys. If you're a listener to this podcast, you probably know the Pistons pretty well yourself, and we also talk about the backstories of some of these guys and what stage of their careers they're in, those kind of things, other interesting types of off-the-court things that are going on with those guys. But when we do get those player interviews, hopefully they'll be a little bit more in-depth and a little bit more different than the things you can get in other venues when you're following this team through the media. But the fringe guys, some of those guys that will be in Grand Rapids, maybe some of the year, you know, and the rookies as well, the Bruce Brown and Khyree Thomas as well. What do you think about, you know, their first training camps coming up? Get the stories on some of these guys that we don't know about. And also, I do want to possibly get Glenn Robinson III, new to the Detroit Pistons, heading to training camp in Ann Arbor this week, his alma mater, the University of Michigan. Could be some insightful things from him, as the Pistons will start training camp on Tuesday through Saturday in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. But some other plans for the next couple weeks, so you guys know until we get to the tip-off of the season on October 14th. We'll talk about whatever the news of the day is with the Pistons as training camp unfolds, and, of course, the preseason games, which open up on October 3rd as well. Also, some of the plans that we're hoping to get some of the crossover pods with the other Central Division teams in the next few weeks, and spend some time also doing some player previews as well for the Pistons, what to expect from some of the starters and rotation guys as well. I know all over the internet you can find different player previews. I know James Edwards just finished a real good run of those on The Athletic, and we'll reference those for sure, since he already did a lot of the legwork that we won't have to do now. And then the Detroit Bad Boys and Piston Power, those kind of sites, I'm sure will be doing posts on some of the other guys, the rotation guys, the starters, and the Pistons as well. So that's what the next couple weeks will look like here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the Locked On NFL, that's becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays is the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. Wednesday, it's Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. On Thursday, it's the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And Friday, you'll get Matt's picks. So all sorts of great stuff there on Locked On NFL. Be sure to subscribe and listen. But next, we're going to be talking about Jimmy Butler and the trade rumors. I have some thoughts, but you've heard me talk about advertising, and guess what? I'm going to be actively looking for more now that I'm back in Detroit. If your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 and 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44. All sorts of daily dedicated listeners. If you're interested in reaching that group, email me at matt_schoch@yahoo.com to find out more. And Pistons season, as we know, coming up in a few weeks. Can you believe it? With Vivid Seats, you can attend the games, the concerts, or the shows of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to. You can sort by price, look for seats in the section or row of your choice. To make it even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners of the Locked On Pistons podcast an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, use promo code Locked On for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter promo code Locked On for $20 off orders of $200 or more. We really appreciate the support. You will be helping out the network by doing this. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let Vivid Seats help you to get to your favorite live event. And I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we will talk about the newest member of the Detroit Pistons, added the day before Media Day on Sunday, and what he could bring. And also, is someone's roster spot in trouble because of this acquisition? We will talk about it. But Jimmy Butler has demanded a trade from Minnesota. You know that from the end of last week. And he was excused for Media Day in Minnesota and also for the start of training camp as well. And it sounded like Tom Thibodeau, who was playing hardball with teams at first in some of the trade discussions, asking for better offers before he was seriously thinking about it. But then, apparently over the last few days, has been undercut by owner Glenn Taylor of the Timberwolves, who has swooped in and taken control of this thing. I've been kind of casually watching, like many of you were, as it all unfolded until Sunday, as followers of the Pistons had to jump right in with a report from Adrian Wojnarowski listed the Pistons as one of eight teams reportedly interested in speaking further to the T-Wolves about the availability of Jimmy Butler, putting the Pistons on a list with the Brooklyn Nets, the Houston Rockets, the LA Clippers, the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, Portland Trailblazers, and Sacramento Kings. Adrian Wojnarowski went on to report throughout the day that Pat Riley and the Miami Heat were just as aggressive as anyone so far in the Jimmy Butler negotiations. And by the way, this is expected to go down sometime in the next few days. I mean, this is something that should get resolved by the end of the week, and we will know more about Jimmy Butler's future, maybe by the time you listen to this podcast. Several teams, the report goes on to say, that are interested in taking on Butler even without insurances that he would sign long-term. No connection to the Pistons made in that part of the report. The first thing that I think about when we're talking about deals right before training camp starts this close to the season is salaries, of course. You got the Minnesota Timberwolves sitting at about $119 million right now for their payroll for this upcoming season. The Pistons at $125 million, wanting to stay under that luxury tax limit. The salary cap right now is $101 million, the luxury tax apron at $123 million. So the Pistons, with some clever accounting and maybe some cuts made from the books, there's some easy ways that they can get under that $123 million so that they don't have to pay the luxury tax, but they're right up against it right now, basically. Jimmy Butler making $19.8 million this season in what's basically the final year of his contract, although he does have a player option for that same amount of money, $19.8 million next season as well. Not a big deal because he definitely turns that down unless there's some sort of extraordinary circumstance where he has like a big injury or a hugely disappointing season or something like that, in which case, you know, that player option is a small black mark on his overall value, but not a big deal because, like we said, most certainly turns down that option and gets the longer-term deal next year in free agency. Now, when you look at the Pistons, they obviously have to match up the salary because neither team has a lot of salary cap flexibility and can take on the extra money. So you're talking about a guy like Reggie Jackson, who makes $17 million this year, $18 million next year in the final year of his deal with the Pistons, or Andre Drummond, who's under contract for the next three seasons, this season and the next two, at 25, 27, and 29. And then Blake Griffin, who's making $32 million this season, and he goes all the way up until the $39 million $39 million year that he has lined up for 2021-2022, and what will be his fourth full season with the Pistons. So this year, two more, and then that final year, 2021-22. And that would be the final year in his deal. If you want to try to throw around some sort of deal that mishmashes a bunch of smaller salaries, you got to probably start with John Luehr at $10 million and then $9.5 million next season. There's really no conceivable deal that doesn't include at least Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond, or Blake Griffin going there, unless you want to get silly and have John Luehr be the financial centerpiece around a deal. But you'd have to throw enough grab bags in there to make it worth it for the Timberwolves. And like I said, really one of those top three guys has to be involved to match up the salaries. Jimmy Butler, who is now you got to look at the asset ranks for these players. Jimmy Butler is an extremely positive asset, however you slice it. You'd rather have him for a long-term deal because he's 29 years old and kind of still in that prime of his career. But if you want to wipe the slate clean of a Blake contract or whatever bad contract is out there, whichever team you are, acquiring Jimmy with only 1 year left in his deal could be a mechanism for that as well. You also have Reggie Jackson in the mix, like we talked about, a negative asset for the Pistons right now. He's got 2 years, big money, unhealthy coming into this season as well, not working on his game in the offseason, apparently, according to the reports from last week, including from Keith Langlois of Pistons.com. If there's a deal involving Reggie and the salaries, Reggie and Jimmy Butler, and the salaries do nearly match up for those guys, then there has to be some big-time assets attached to Reggie to make it a fair one. Think something like Luke Kennard and the Pistons' 2019 first-round pick, something like that, probably even more. The Pistons, by the way, I think Vince Ellis incorrectly reported in an article that I just read on Freep.com that the Pistons cannot trade their 2019 first-round draft pick. My understanding is that they can trade their 2019 first-round draft pick still. You can. The rule is that you cannot trade consecutive first-round draft picks in future seasons, but now that the Pistons' 2018 draft has already happened, they are free to trade that 2019 first-round draft pick. Now, they cannot now trade 19 and 20. You can trade your first-round draft pick every year as long as you're not trading the future two consecutive future first-round draft picks. Now, the 2018 is not no longer a future first-round draft pick, the one they already dealt to the Clippers for Blake Griffin. Now, if someone wants to correct me on that, look it up and let me know what you find out. But so Andre Drummond and Blake, it comes down to, because you probably as a Pistons follower don't want to throw mortgage enough for the future to get rid of that first round pick, or maybe multiple first round picks, or also a guy like Luke Kennard, who's a big part of what you're looking at the next 4 or 5 years. So Andre, to my mind, is a positive asset. And Blake, depending on who you talk to around the league, either a negative asset or something like a neutral asset. Probably more negative given the injury history and the dollars that Blake Griffin has coming to him over the next 4 years. Either way, if you're the Timberwolves and you're thinking about making that deal, you're committing to a future with Karl-Anthony Towns, who is re-upping for 5 years, and then adding Karl-Anthony Towns to 3 years of Andre Drummond or 4 years of Blake Griffin. And those guys don't fit with Karl-Anthony Towns at all. People talk about how Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond don't fit together, and there is definitely truth to that. But those guys would fit even worse with Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns is a supremely talented offensive player who can get it done in the post. He can get it done, really a pretty good, very good perimeter shooter as well, and can put it off the bounce if centers are coming out to contest his three-point shots and perimeter shots as well. He's got to have a lot of space on the floor, and really the same problem that Blake Griffin is running to with the Pistons. Blake Griffin's got to have a lot of the floor, and he's also a defensive liability. Really, Karl-Anthony Towns and Blake Griffin are similar players, although much further along in terms of Blake Griffin's career in a negative way with the injuries and the age, and then a positive way when you look at it with Karl-Anthony Towns, his youth and lack of injuries that he's had so far in his year. So really, they're completely similar players in what they're going to look like on the floor this coming season, although Karl-Anthony Towns, a much better shooter further along in those regards, and Blake Griffin's a much better playmaker and further along in those regards as the offensive players. So then you got to look at a guy like Andre Drummond, and then again, you have some of the same problems that you're going to have with Blake Griffin and the Pistons that you would have with Andre Drummond and Karl-Anthony Towns possibly matched up. Andre Drummond isn't the rim. First of all, they're both centers. It's not like Blake Griffin, who can play some of the power forward, get out on the floor a little bit more than Andre Drummond. And second of all, neither of those guys can really defend. Karl-Anthony Towns is a minus defender, and Andre Drummond hasn't quite turned into an above-average rim protector quite yet. It's something that the Pistons fans hope to see. But now you're talking about a guy like Andre Drummond, and just like the Pistons are probably going to do, they're marginalizing some of the other things that he could do offensively. There's really not a fit between Andre Drummond and Karl-Anthony Towns, two centers that don't match up in terms of the things they do well and things they don't do well on the court. So in that sense, you have to get a third team involved, and that's going to be difficult right now, right before training starts. And do you want to give up on Blake or Andre to clear the cap right now? And first of all, we're not asking you. We're asking owner Tom Gore of the Pistons, because he's the one who ultimately making the decision. Because, by the way, Jimmy Butler is not going to be staying here. He especially is not re-upping before this season starts with the Detroit Pistons. Did you see the list originally that came out when he was demanding the trade last week? New York, Brooklyn, and the Clippers, and Miami. And those are big markets. Those are cities that have nothing remotely in common with Detroit. So I don't see – it would be strictly a clearing of your cap in the future. And is that where you're at as a Pistons fan with Blake and Andre? I understand that there's some of you guys out there who are there right now and you want to push complete reset right now. But is there anything in Tom Gore's past that would indicate that he'd sign off on another rebuild and get rid of what they have right now with the core without at least seeing what they have with a new coach and a couple of potential all-stars and Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond? I don't see it at all. Now, I have a listener comment on the text line from Yusuf Elmin Yawi, who thanks a lot for checking in with us. He sent a text to the text line, and he says that some people say it would be risky to trade a long-term commitment from Griffin for a one-year rental. But this expedites the potential rebuild, and we get a gritty baller in return who fits the Motor City mentality. In addition, we could get some more assets in return, similar to what the Clips got from Houston for CP3 or from Detroit for Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is a great player, but there's no end in sight for the Pistons' woes right now. This might just help steer the ship in the right direction, at least. Now, Yusuf, thanks of all for the text, first of all. Second of all, I don't think that Tom Gores is ready for the rebuild. I don't think he's ready to pack this thing up, nor should he be after committing what they committed to Blake Griffin kind of going forward. And plus, if I'm being honest anyways, I'm not really a huge Jimmy Butler fan right now, especially swirling these things that are happening right now a few days before training camp starts. Yes, he checks more of the Pistons' mentality boxes, like Yusuf says, with his defensive tenacity, more so than a guy like Blake Griffin does, but he's a slightly below average three-point shooter, by the way, 35% from three last year, below the league average of 36%. This would make him be traded twice in two seasons, and it also gives up on young guy. He's a guy who gave up on some of his young teammates after 1 year, apparently. Karl-Anthony Towns is a very good player in this league, will be great for years to come, and as far as teammates, you don't give up on a talent like that because he's a bad defender so far. I think that there's things that, as a teammate and as a good defender like Jimmy Butler is, you need to find ways to work as a team and maximize some of the strengths that the locker room has and minimize some of the weaknesses around the locker room as well. And I don't like how he's approaching this. And I know Wiggins has his shortcomings as well, but as an older veteran player in a young locker room, he's supposed to be leading. He's supposed to be the veteran. I was around that locker room in Chicago a little bit when he was there in his last season, a strange season by all accounts with the Chicago Bulls. There were problems all year with Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler and how they related to the young players, who all, by the way, gravitated towards Rajon Rondo, who seemed like a better dude and from all accounts was more of a leader to the young Bulls. Jimmy Butler was a strange guy from what I've seen, and certainly his career isn't dotted with winning and good situations as he's on his way out from a program with Tom Thibodeau, a coach he was familiar with, a program that appeared to be on the rise, and now he's going searching for places like the Brooklyn Nets, New York Knicks, and LA Clippers, who of course have some max salary slots going forward, but are certainly situations where he's going to be around a lot of losing for this coming season. Now we'll see how that all shakes out. And what do you think about it? You can call, by the way, and leave a voicemail and or text along the number, the new Google voice number for the Locked On Pistons podcast. And we'll use your 2 cents on the air here. 810-666-1546. Again, 810-666-1546. And by the way, Locked On NBA never went away, and it is still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories, and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the NBA. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Up next, we're going to be talking about the newest Piston and what you can expect from him, and are there any Pistons whose roster spots might be in jeopardy with this new face? We'll talk about that next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hi, Matt. This is Breeshin in Philly. About Reggie Jackson, is this now the third offseason that he hasn't been able to train? Has he been injured for three offseasons in a row? It's over. He's done. He'll never be more than an average, serviceable, league-average point guard. They need to waive and stretch, maybe wait for the season out, maybe see what they can do with his contract. He's untradeable. But it's time to start drafting point guards. It's time to start trading. Reggie is it's over. I'm done with him. The year is still salvageable, but he's not going to get his legs till around December. This is really disappointing, and I'm done with the Reggie Jackson experiment. Wasn't a great idea. Get a point guard in there that Dwayne Casey can deal with. That is his kind of guy, and it's time to start planning life after Reggie this season. Still might make the playoffs, but they'll never be more than a seventh seed with Reggie at this point.
And that was Breeshen Miller from Philly. If you want to have your voicemail on the air here, just call us at 810-666-1546. I'm especially interested in what you guys think about those Jimmy Butler rumors that we talked about on today's show. But the other Pistons news from Sunday, Chris McCullough, the former Syracuse player, joining the Pistons for camp on what sounds like a non-roster invite, according to James Edwards III of The Athletic. McCullough is 23 years old, only went to Cuse for 1 year. I followed that team pretty closely in his one season in New York because it was the senior year for Rakeem Christmas, who was a Virgin Islander, and I was down there in the VI writing as the sports editor for the newspaper down there. So I was kind of writing everything about Rakeem Christmas and watching a lot of the Cuse games. McCullough was really good the first half of his freshman season, but then tore his ACL midway through the year and went into the NBA draft anyways. And such a nice talent, despite the fact that he had the busted knee, he was still picked by Brooklyn in the first round at pick number 29, despite Brooklyn having the knowledge that he wouldn't play for most of his rookie season, which proved out to be true. He only played 24 games at the end of the year. But then in year two, halfway through the season, McCullough was traded by Brooklyn to Washington, where he spent another season and a half with the Wizards. Last year in Washington, McCullough played 19 games, all mop-up duty, didn't really do anything of note, has bounced around mostly in the G League during his time with the Nets and Wizards organizations. Nothing has really developed for him in the NBA, but he'll be desperate to catch on in training camp with Detroit. And maybe they see some potential for him was something to happen when looking at Henry Ellenson's roster spot. The Pistons, by the way, have to pick up Ellenson's salary for next year before this season starts. So there's decisions coming up for Henry. That's mostly a formality for some of the top players in the rookie contracts. But Ellenson, as we know, hasn't shown much in his early parts of his career. And maybe they're bringing in Chris McCullough in for some training camp competition with those big men, most notably Henry. Dwayne Casey can't like what he saw from Henry Ellenson in Summer League, especially with the shooting performances. And maybe this could be the push that Henry needs to get another strong training camp like he apparently had last year, according to Stan Van Gundy, although that didn't translate in any real shot of Henry Ellenson getting looks at the NBA level with the Pistons last year. McCullough is a very athletic player, a great floor runner, and maybe more of what Casey and the coaching staff are looking for in terms of that depth from the front court positions. We will see if anything shakes out, and we'll obviously keep a look an eye on Chris throughout the exhibition season in the games, and keep our ear to the ground as far as what we're hearing from the Pistons in training camp as well. But go ahead and give me a follow as we pass along those notes. I'm excited to start the preseason here on Twitter. It's @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Follow us on Facebook. Give us a like at Locked On Pistons-MattSchoch. And remember, go to the App Store or Google Play or download the Vivid Seats app, one of our new partners for the season. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. And I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season. But thanks for listening, everyone. This has been your host, Matt Schoch, for another episode of Locked On Pistons. It's Media Day. Excited to get started and excited to have you guys on for the ride this season. Thanks for listening and have a good start to the week, everyone.